drinking town with a football problem. Hey everybody, welcome into the Piffles Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Alex.
I'm Steve.
I'm Ferlin.
I'm Amy.
And we have a big show to get to, so let's get right down to it. First off, follow us on Twitter. You can follow us at PifflesPod. You can follow me at RealAlexD.
You can follow me at Safamod.
Myself at Fernie635.
And I'm at CFL Hottieball.
We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. Instagram, just search PifflesPod. And check out the website, PifflesPodcast.com. As always, Piffles Podcast is brought to you by Bryn Werrett at Royal LePage Regina Realty. Check out BrynWerrett.com. That's BrynWerrett.com. Coming up on this show, we're going to talk a lot about the Riders and Bombers. What a game that was. The result, obviously, not exactly what we wanted, but if it goes to double overtime, you can't really be too upset. Or can we? We'll find out. We'll talk about that. Anyway, the Riders lose, drop down to 0-2. We're going to talk about the Riders' upcoming game against Hamilton this Saturday, July 8th at 8 p.m. We'll have a Piffles player profile, another entrant into the Hottie Bowl, see if we have a rant or... And we'll do our Piffles picks and just talk a little CFL news. So, the game against Winnipeg, Mosaic Stadium, home opener, the place was electric. Before we get to our thoughts on the actual stadium experience itself, to the game. Who looked good?
Well, besides our logo on TSN, and thanks to our listeners for that, that was pretty cool. I gotta say our receiving core, 4 touchdowns by 4 different receivers. All of them look good. Nick Dembski, Caleb Hawley, even Daron Carter had a pretty decent game. I think that's what stands out to me the most.
Another touchdown for Bakari as well. So another breakfast on Ferlin. And another
box. That made me so happy.
And another box of toys.
Another box of kids, toys
so
for
that's
kids.
Great.
Beyond that, our fourth quarter defensive line was not too shabby. The rest of the game,
a little left to be desired.
I'm gonna throw out Kevin Glenn. Did toss a couple picks, but kind of made up for it with 4 touchdown passes, 377 yards passing. Not a bad day for the old timer.
Well, I'm saying the entire offense. Well, except for this imaginary run game that we thought we might have had after game one, but was completely non-existent in game two. The offense, pretty much all game, moved the ball up and down field, won the field position game. I mean, you put up 40 points. Obviously, you didn't do too bad. So, just the entire offense. Who looked bad?
That imaginary defender that was supposed to be covering Weston Dressler.
Which time?
Yes.
Yep.
I mean, I realize he's, 5'7 and hard to miss, but he's the guy you got to have somebody on 24/7. And that was, I called that touchdown. I tapped Ferlin on the shoulder and go, Dressler, touchdown coming up. That second touchdown in the third quarter. You can't do that. That was awful. And to match my who looked good, the first 3 quarters of our defensive line, they weren't getting any pressure.
3-man rush.
We're just going to name every episode from now on, screw the 3-man rush.
There's a lot of episodes that are going to be called that. Ferlin?
I can't say much else outside the imaginary run game, that 3-man rush, and the entire secondary against Dressler. There's really not much else I can say that was bad about that game.
I put the secondary as well, shocker, but I had it for a different reason. With he knocked Muamba out of the game, they were really missing that quarterback in the middle of the defense, and the middle linebacker is traditionally the guy that makes the call on the field, gets the call from the coaches or audibles. They were lost without him. They had no clue what was going on, and I think a lot of the secondary issues came from not having Muamba there to make the proper call.
It's a damn good thing that's not going to be a problem for game two, because you're absolutely right.
Yeah, he was put on the 6-game list, but they gave him a shot of something, Michael's secret stuff or whatever from Space Jam, gave that to him, and now he's going to be back off the 6-game list and playing this week. So
it's a hell of a miracle.
Yeah.
Praise Jesus.
And it's random drug test day for Mamba.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all. But that whole secondary, the entire game, and it wasn't even like, and I mean, normally when teams make good plays against us, I want to give them credit and say, you guys, I mean, that was a great route, just a great play by the offense. They absolutely, dominated or whatever the case is. None of those plays were good route running. They just ran straight, and the Riders just refused to cover them.
Sounds really familiar to 2016, doesn't it?
Pretty much, yeah. Beating on a dead horse here, but that three-man rush. These guys, when you're dealing with a young secondary, you're confusing them too much with complex zone. And if you're going to have three and then drop guys back and then move guys around in the secondary, that's too much for them to worry about. They're trying to worry about a man, but then, oh, they got to worry about a zone. Well, make it easy on them. Man up, rush four or five, have three linebackers, and have your five back there in the secondary. Go man. That's the easiest thing, because you only have one responsibility as a defensive back, and that's your receiver. And if you get beat, you get beat. So be it. That happens.
I don't think anybody would complain about seeing a guy getting beat in man coverage.
Well, and with a young secondary, again, we would expect that, and that's fine, as long as you're, you know, right there with him the entire time. If the guy beats you, he made a great play, you didn't, that's football for you.
Man coverage would be a whole lot better than the no man coverage that we saw.
Oh, just embarrassing. And this is supposed to be from a defensive guru as a head coach. We don't have a defensive coordinator. Is it time that we get a defensive coordinator or somebody to step in and maybe just take over play calling for the defense during a game?
I haven't been on the hire a defensive coordinator train until recently, but I'm starting to think that we need somebody with a little bit different philosophy than Jones, similar to what we had when Chamblin and Hall were around. They were completely opposite coaches, but somehow when they were together, it just worked. And I kind of think that might be something we need to start looking at here.
Well, I think what we need, you're on the right wavelength, is we need somebody in Chris Jones's ear to say, this isn't working. Because we've all seen that Chris Jones has an ego. He sticks to what he knows because what he knows has worked for his entire career. There's no arguing that he's won everywhere he goes. And it's not like his philosophies are changing all that much, but it's not working here. We're watching it. Teams are exploiting it nonstop. We need somebody to tell him, maybe try an extra blitz or two. Who was it? Derek Taylor said we rushed three on over 60% of our plays again. You can't do that.
And one thing I've noticed is at least four of the six touchdowns against that this team has allowed on defense so far in these first two games have come against three-man rush.
So you're saying it's really bad idea to give the quarterback a ton of time against a rookie defense?
Something like that. Yeah, pretty much. Bang on. Like, I just don't get it. When you have a bunch of young guys, keep it simple. Man up, bring your four defensive linemen, bring five, blitz a linebacker once in a while. But other than that, just keep it as simple as possible and let them go out there and execute. If they're not getting it done, that's because they're not good enough.
And I can accept losing if it's not good enough. But we've seen that the team has the talent to compete. Both these games, they're in. We've lost two by a combined 4 points. We're in these games, and it's scheme and coaching errors that are costing us wins. You know, and of course, Tyler Kropinia, it's all his fault.
You know, I feel bad for him. I truly do, because I really like the kid. And he'll be our kicker in game three. Chris Jones has came out on the first day of practice here on Tuesday and said as much, that that's our kicker. When you look at him through his career, he's 85, 86% through his career, and that's a great average. But that's 2 weeks in a row he's missed potential game-winning / go-ahead kicks. And at what point do you, like, if you're losing these games by this close, you need those kicks. As good as he was before the game start, or before the overtimes, and was hitting the extra points, had four field goals, at what point do you make a change? Because Chris Jones has a kicker that he drafted sitting on the practice roster.
Here's the thing, though. When you're looking at kicks winning or losing games, as much as I think that, oh my God, you have one job. Your job is literally to put the ball through the uprights. Somebody tweeted to me this week and said, kickers are like CPR. They can't kill a patient. They can only save a patient. So you got to start looking at everybody else who plays on the team, too.
Yeah, there's nobody that'll argue that. And I should point
like
out,
you can't 100% blame the kicker for losing a game.
No. And I was being sarcastic in the, you know, Tyler Kropinia is the reason we lost. I mean, they say he can't make high-pressure kicks. Well, he kicked the field goal in overtime. He kicked the extra point with a minute left. I mean, a 32-yard point after is not a gimme anymore. It should be, but it's not 100%. Ask Paradis.
And Maher, there was five missed in that Calgary-Ottawa game. Five extra points were missed.
Right, so they're not a guarantee. And to kick one with, you know, a minute left to tie the game, that's a big kick. So he is making the high-pressure kicks, and he's kicking 85% in his career. He's, what, 7 of 9 this year. He's not doing poorly. And are we going to have this same debate if he misses the first one? instead of the one in overtime.
That's a great point.
You should.
But we wouldn't. It would be, oh, he missed a kick. The only reason we're talking about it is because it happened in overtime. And I'm sorry, but who's to say we kicked that field goal? At best, we're playing for a tie there.
Yeah.
Because Justin Medlock is money inside the 40. He's not missing from inside 40 in overtime.
Is it terrible that I'd take a tie right now?
Of course you would. Well, it's better than a loss.
That's
but
terrible.
But still, as a kicker, you have one job. Just one. That's all I have to say.
There's no arguing that, yeah. And there is one player that we missed that would be on the looked good and looked bad list, and I'm surprised we missed him. Greg Morris had a bunch of great returns and then a crippling fumble. That was about as Jekyll and Hyde a game as you'll ever see from a player.
And those 25 seconds, that was the entire game right there. There was a little bit more to it. There was the, you know, few minutes around it on both sides of it late in the second quarter, early in the third quarter. But the Dressler 87-yard touchdown, and then subsequently next play, fumbled the ball, Greg Morris. And 10 seconds later, Dressler scores another touchdown, or 25 seconds, whatever it was. That's just, you went from leading the game, and now you're down.
And I think what hurt most from that first Dressler touchdown is it was second and 10 on a three-man rush.
And Kevin Francis just pointed at him, saying, hey, watch this guy. Didn't watch him. Turned around. Dressler is 15 yards behind him.
And 33,000 people were watching him walk into the end zone like we've seen so many times from Dressler at Taylor Field.
It was a pathetic effort by the defense. Other than the defense in the fourth quarter, which I thought played pretty well, when they actually rushed four and brought some blitzes, got three sacks in the fourth quarter. I know, novel concept, right? It was a pathetic effort from the second and in the third quarter. I shouldn't say pathetic in the first quarter, because, I mean, it was 17-3 not too long after the second quarter started. So the defense was playing pretty well, and they looked good to start the game, and then they just crashed and couldn't recover. It was like ultimately from that.
It was like halfway through the second quarter, a switch flipped, and they finally figured out how to flip it back in the fourth, but it was too late.
The thing about that fourth quarter is that got loud in there. And I'm pretty sure that had a little bit of an effect on Winnipeg's offense.
We've talked a little bit about the game. The full stadium atmosphere was the first game where all 33,000 people were there. It was all the season ticket holders. It was the first time that we had, you know, a full proper crowd. Your thoughts?
It was loud.
It didn't seem loud where we're sitting, because we're up top, but I feel like down closer to the field it was.
I heard a few louder. People up top say that it was much louder than they were used to.
Oh,
like
really?
Taylor Field, they didn't have any noise up there because it was all dissipated by then. But here, because it's kind of enclosed in the roofing and seating structure, it was a little bit louder. But yeah, where we were kind of at field level, it was unbelievable.
It was deafening in that fourth quarter. I've been to a few NFL games, and that was louder to me. Now, granted, they were Miami Dolphins games, so.
That's what one of my coworkers said. One of her son has been to a few NFL games, and he says this game was way more fun than NFL games he's been to.
It's because of the
atmosphere and the crowd and everything.
I think the atmosphere was great. The crowd was great. The players seemed to get into it. I'm used to sitting on the opposite side of the players, where you don't get to see them kind of trying to get the crowd going, waving their arms and stuff like that. But they were, everybody on that sideline late in the fourth quarter was giving her. And the crowd responded in kind.
And the players will admit, too. We've seen in an article on Ryderville.com that Kevin Glenn thought the fans were fantastic. I forget who else they asked in there, that the crowd was great and they did their part. And even if you ask Rob Bagg, he did kind of throw some shade on us. Rob Bagg even commented on it, saying the fans were loud. But, and I'll get into that in actually just a few minutes here. Apparently there was more that we could have done. But I thought just that whole atmosphere was incredible. It was one of the best games I've been to for a regular season game, in terms of fans being there pretty much the entire game and just giving everything they had. The fourth quarter was fantastic. Once the Riders started scoring, made it close again, and tied the game up. Defense getting a couple sacks there at the end. Like, it was just, that's going to be a great place for football. And it's hopefully that game and that trend continues, because that was awesome.
If you've ever watched a game on TV and you've seen those camera shakes that happen when the stadium gets really loud, there were points where I thought my vision was shaking. It was so loud. It was insane.
My throat is still sore after, you know, the game was Saturday.
Yeah, that's kind of why I sound like this right now. My throat hurts.
Had Sunday and Monday of very little talking because of the holiday, and it's still a little bit sore today.
But yeah, that game was phenomenal. It's going to be fantastic to see more games in there like that. And we got another one coming up this upcoming Saturday, and we'll preview that game in just a little bit here. Time to get to some Rider news right now. Some transactions were made on Tuesday, first day of practice. The big one, defensive lineman Jonathan Newsome released. And this stems from poor play. I don't know. He had an interception. Liking a tweet. Really, really weird situation going on in Riderville about why Jonathan Newsome got cut. Chris Jones was asked about it, and he said it was a difference of philosophies, basically, which tends to have me believe that Jones wants to keep going with the three-man rush and having his line, or having his defensive ends drop back into coverage. Newsome doesn't like that, wants to rush the quarterback, and as soon as you start fighting with the coach, well, guess what? The coach never loses, especially when he's the GM.
I feel like if you had more than 3 sacks in 20 games, you might have a dog in the fight.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, I mean, stats don't tell the entire story, but they tell a lot of the story. And Jonathan Newsome, honestly, other than his first few games from last season, fell off a cliff. He had a great start, and we're like, oh man, this is going to be our next outside linebacker or defensive end, and he's going to be the next good one. He's been pedestrian ever since.
This whole situation sounds eerily reminiscent of a year ago when Sean Lemon was traded. Same kind of thing, difference of philosophy, player against coach, coach won.
Well, let's hope Jonathan Newsome doesn't sign with an opponent and go off for 15 sacks. I think it was the right decision based on play. They obviously don't like what he's been doing. If that was Willie Jefferson or, you know, somebody of that level making the same kind of comments, whatever those might have been, there might have been some leeway. But if you're not putting up the numbers, you're not putting up the, you know, you're not making the coach happy. If you piss him off in meetings afterwards, especially when the head coach is also the one signing your paychecks. And
well, there's also a theory going around that Newsome got cut because he liked to tweet. And this tweet was actually made by a Rider fan that posted a video after the game impersonating Chris Jones, basically saying that the team sucked. And it was a funny, really funny impersonation, nailed the voice and everything too. But apparently that's one of the rumors going around. How true that is, I don't believe it one bit, because if you're going around cutting players because they like a tweet, but that's also kind of the way that social media is nowadays too. You can't do something that's going to upset your employer. And it might be a petty thing if that ever happened from the Riders, that they would actually cut somebody because they liked a tweet. But the terrible thing is that wouldn't shock me.
I could see it being the final straw in the hay pile, going, you're not doing that great, and you're mocking your head coach with a like of this tweet, but for that to be the actual reason that he was cut, come on. But you're right, I also wouldn't be 100% surprised if that came to be true at this point. Again, we know Chris Jones, we've seen it, he's got an ego, he sticks by his way, it's his way or the highway.
People are going crazy thinking that that Jonathan Newsome is this next Cam Wake, and he hasn't proven that. Yeah, he was highly touted because he came in from the NFL and was a, you know, pretty decent player in the NFL, but
he was outplayed by a tight end from college coming up.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he was decent. Nobody will argue that, and he was a fan favorite, which is why this is happening. This is why this is big talk again. Just because you like a guy doesn't mean cutting him is not the right decision. That's one thing that's really irking me lately, is you got to hold on to the fan favor regardless of what he's doing on the field. If he's not putting up, move over to the next guy.
The weird part about with Newsome is he just had his best game in the last 15 or so games for him. So
it's either Jones' way or the highway, pretty much.
The one thing that surprises me is we thought the next guy was Davis Tull. And
yeah, he got the axe as well. There was a grand total of 4 players cut. Jonathan Newsome was number one. Davis Tull, defensive end, he was cut. Looked pretty good in the preseason, even in BC when the whole team looked bad in BC. He was one of the standouts there. And defensive lineman DJ Petway as well released. And our starting middle linebacker from last week, Mike Dubuisson, Canadian player. He was released as well. I mean, if you look at that defense, they were terrible, and he only started because Mwamba was out, and Mwamba's back, so bye-bye, Dubuisson.
Yeah, really not much to say. The only ones that surprised me are on the defensive line, and that's because we expected to see either Davis Tull or Jonathan Newsom starting opposite Willie Jefferson. So,
and to make room, or making room after those guys were cut, the Riders also announced the signings of offensive lineman Emmanuel Adese. He was one of our draft picks from this year, went back to school to finish that off. So he's back. Defensive linemen Darius Allen and Ricky Sapp were also added to the practice roster. And one that came on a little bit later in the day, a nice little surprise, offensive lineman Jeremy Zver, drafted by the BC Lions in the second round of this year's draft. And he coming back home from the Regina Rams.
I like that pick. He could never have too many Canadian offensive linemen, and helps that he's a homegrown product. I saw a lot of people saying, well, he declined a roster spot or a practice roster spot in BC, so he's fair game. Doesn't matter. If he was on the practice roster, we would have swiped him anyways. We showed that last year.
Yeah, well, we took Dylan Guy from him, so.
Yeah, it makes sense for Zver to come back to Regina. Even if we do end up putting him on our PR, he's living at home, so it's much cheaper than, you know, paying rent out in Vancouver. Kind of makes sense for him and makes sense for the team.
Are you saying there's a housing market issue in Vancouver?
Yeah, there's crack houses going for $1 million.
Well, yeah, because the walls are lined with crack. Like, come on. But there's the...
There's a Reggie Slack joke. <or something.
laughs> No, Reggie Slack, that's the joke. So there's the Rider news from this week so far anyway. If anything else happens, make sure you take a look at piffelspodcast.com for more on that. And also don't forget to like us on Facebook, facebook.com/piffelspodcast. Follow us on Twitter @piffelspod and check out our Instagram @piffelspod. But time to move on here. Time now for the Coney Island Piffles player profile. I really want to know. Tell me who are you. This week's Piffles player profile brought to you by Coney Island Poutine Cafe, the best poutine in the prairies. Check out their two locations in Regina. This week, Rider defensive back Javon Johnson joins us. Javon, thanks for your time.
No problem, anytime.
Now, your second time to Saskatchewan, you started your CFL career here. And you're doing a few things for charity.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about the charities.
Well, I support Lyme's disease. I met a lady in Ottawa when I was playing there who was in the Canadian Armed Forces, and she was discharged due to her heart failure. And they didn't know what was wrong. She had tests done, and they couldn't figure out what was going on with her. And then she met with a specialist, and the specialist told her that they thought she had Lyme's disease. So she had got checked for it. Come to find out she did, and her heart was operating at about 57%. So she decided to leave the armed forces and start a cupcake shop. And, you know, I met her through a guy, friend of mine, who I was coaching with in a little league team out in Ottawa. And he took me to her location, and she had the best cupcakes that I've ever tasted. And then, you know, we share stories and talked a little bit about what she was going through and what she had to deal with, and the cupcake thing was a way for her to fund getting her treatments done and everything that she needed to do. So just a few months ago, and during the off season, she sent me a text message, and it was a video of her business being burned down. So it was my initiative. I felt like I needed to do something to help her out and help her rebuild, because she has to start all over. And not only is she starting all over, she also has to deal with the complications of her heart failure. And so that's where I'm at with it, and that's why I'm so passionate about it.
And so you're going to be doing t-shirts
mm-hmm.
for sale. How can people get a hold of a t-shirt here?
Well I started the t-shirt thing as a way to raise money to give proceeds to Lyme's disease. They could either contact me on Twitter at @MrConsistent_2, or they can just send me an email at jovon.d@johnson@gmail.com, and we could get the ball rolling.
And I saw you're also looking at getting like a barbecue in the park.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at possibly setting that up as well.
Yeah, so I'm gonna do a barbecue. I looked at a bunch of locations here in Regina. Candy Cane Park was one that was highly recommended. So I figured I would do it there. Still doing a tentative schedule as far as when I'm going to do it. I wanted to do it this upcoming weekend, but since all the players are going away on bye week, I was thinking maybe we would do it the weekend that we're all returning from bye week. So it would be a lot easier to get the players out there and then also give me some time to work with a couple of sponsors in regards to getting the food that we need and all the required equipment. And then also I've been talking to the Wascana Center people of to what I needed to get done for to reserve the park. So it's all a process, but it's all getting taken care of.
All right, now you were cut from Montreal in the off season. Mm-hmm. We here were pretty quick on the signed Javon Johnson train. You've mentioned and proven fairly well over the first two games on the field that it was not related to your talent.
Mm-hmm.
How big of a chip on your shoulder are you playing with, and how does that help you?
You know, I always played with a chip on my shoulder. Just growing up, going through adversity, all the adversity that I've faced, you know, I've always had a chip on my shoulder. But you know, going through that situation with Montreal, knowing that I could still play and play at a high level, and feeling like I was one of the best defensive backs throughout camp, you know, it made that chip grow even bigger. And you know, coming here to Saskatchewan for me, it's like a circle of life come back full circle because this is where I started my career. So being back here, it gives me not only a chance to reintroduce myself to the fans and the community, because when I was here before, I didn't really get that opportunity. But and it's also a chance for me to reintroduce myself to the league, because I feel like I still got a lot left in the tank. And that chip will continue to grow each week. And that's just how I am.
First game at New Mosaic Stadium. Mm-hmm. Just how loud was it on the field?
It was loud. I think that played a part in why we had so many busts in the coverage. You know, guys couldn't hear each other communicating out there on the field. But, you know, as part of the game, the fans give us so much energy out there on that field. They're passionate and, you know, they love the game. And, you know, the best fans in the CFL by far. And, you know, you got to love being able to open up a new stadium and having that type of environment out there with the jets flying over all the way through the game, end of the game, with the fans cheering us all the way to the end. So, you know, you got to love that kind of support.
Now, speaking of the game, there was a couple of moments where we saw where Weston Dressler kind of got left mm-hmm. wide open. Obviously, we don't want you to name names, anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens when that kind of busted coverage happens? What kind of things lead to that?
You know, it's just a mentality, you know, a focus, paying attention to details and understanding what the call is, and executing. And, you know, we left the guy wide open on a few occasions in the game. And it was just a matter of communication and lack of concentration. And that's what it boils down to. That's what happens when you aren't hitting on all cylinders and being able to communicate with the guy that's playing next to you, and you know, it ultimately leads to coverage bust.
So who's the toughest receiver to face in the league right now, and who is the toughest you've ever faced in your career?
The toughest receiver in the league right now, I couldn't even tell you. Honestly, I really don't even know. I would have to say probably I would go with probably one of the guys from BC, either Manuel Arsenault or Brian Burnham. Or a guy like S.J. Green, you know, a guy that's proven over 10-year period that he could get it done, and he started the year off in pretty good fashion over in Toronto. So, over my career, the toughest receiver that I ever had to face, I don't even know that answer either. To be honest, I think all of the receivers have presented a challenge in many different ways. They all have different skill sets. They all can make plays. If I had to just pick one, I would go with, let's see here, Chris Williams maybe, from when he was in Ottawa. You know, being my teammate, I had to go against him at practice every day. Manuel Arsenault, another guy that has, you know, had a tremendous career and played great. And, you know, we've had some classic battles once we lined up against each other. So the respect is there. You know, there's a lot of guys. I could go down a long list of guys that I could name, but, you know, those are the two guys that probably stand out the most.
So outside of football, what do you do to keep yourself busy?
I do a lot of things. I'm heavily involved in the community. I have a business that helps high school students that are athletes get recruited to go to university and receive scholarships. Basically walking them hand in hand down the recruiting path and telling them, teaching them how and when to take test score, take the standardized test and get the scores for that, and reaching out and building networks with coaches and, you know, all the little things that, you know, go unnoticed that could help you get scholarships. You know, we give them the recipe for that and give them deadlines that they have to meet. It's like being a student again and having homework assignments that you got to get done, but this time your future is on the line for it.
Social media seems pretty important to you. Why do you interact so much with the fans?
I'm just passionate about myself and also engaging in the outside world, because, you know, not everybody knows who you are. They don't know much about you, but everybody has an opinion about you regardless of, you know, what you say or do. You know, everybody's going to have an opinion and they're entitled to that. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm so heavily active on there because I want people to know the real me and not what they think of me, because what they think of me can be ultimately not the person that I am. So I would rather them get the opportunity to know me and know what I'm about versus making, you know, judgments based on what they think.
So who is the real you?
Well, I'm down to earth, you know, humble. You know, a lot of people think I'm cocky or overly confident, but, you know, I'm really actually down to earth, humble. You know, I'm very passionate about the game of football, very, very passionate about, you know, giving back and being a face in the community. You know, I'm active in a lot of different areas, you know, trying to better people around me. I'm a leader by, you know, just, I don't really say much, but, you know, I lead by example. That's my style. And now being at this point in my career, I have to do more talking, and I'm okay with that. But, you know, before in my younger days, I wasn't a big talker. I was not the type of guy that would get in front of a classroom and give a speech. That's just who I was. But, you know, that those times have changed because, you know, I've become the elder statesman in the room. So I have to be more vocal. But, you know, I'm a real normal person. Like, I'm not the type of person that people think I am. Like, people think I talk too much, but I don't feel like I talk enough. You know, sometimes I could get carried away with, you know, people attacking me, and then I snap back because, you know, that all comes from the adversity that I went through as a kid. You know, my mom always taught me that if somebody does or says something to you, then you hit back. So, you know, that's how I am. Like, I'm very outgoing in that regard. When somebody says something to me that I don't like, I always have something to say in response to it. So that's probably why.
And would you say that's the one thing that sticks out, your mom teaching you as a kid?
My mom taught me a lot of things, but, you know, that is one of the things that she taught me that, you know, that still sticks with me to this day, is that I won't let no one disrespect me in any way. You know, I give respect, so I expect respect in return. So, you know, I don't let anybody disrespect me in any kind of way. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, this is life. And, you know, some people are going to say things that you don't like, and you just got to learn to bite your tongue and walk away from it.
That's great advice. Once football is done for you, mm-hmm. What do you see yourself doing? Like, would coaching be an option?
Coaching is definitely an option for me. I mean, I explored it. You know, I enjoy doing it. I trained a lot of kids in the off season that are going to go on to be prolific college football players. And actually, one's going to the University of Iowa, go Hawkeyes. But, yeah, I mean, I think coaching is possibly an option for me. If not, I'm going to be involved with sports in some way or another.
What is the most played song on your playlist right now?
Probably Lucci. You probably don't even know who that is.
Nope.
but yeah, I listen to him a lot. He has a nice album. If you ever get the chance to listen to it, he speaks to what I've been through in my life. So, you know, I could kind of relate to the things that he talks about.
What is the most embarrassing song on your playlist?
Do I gotta say?
Yep.
Probably one of the Justin Bieber songs. I mean, I think Bieber has some. He got some swag for a kid that sings.
You don't have any Spice Girls or Backstreet Boys
way.
On there?
No way. Under no circumstances.
Without naming any names, it's your best road trip story.
Oh, you can name names if you want. Like, they're not the way anymore, and you want to throw them out of the bus. Be
no
like, yo, this guy's
way.
Running around the hotel naked.
Let's see here. We got a bunch of stories that I could get into. I want to just say that we played out in Toronto. What year? It had to have been about 2011, actually, the year I won Defensive Player of the Year. We played in Toronto, and me and Jonathan Hefney and a few other guys, you know, we went and hung out, and the bus was supposed to leave at 6 o'clock in the morning. We didn't make that bus. Woke up at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, plane gone, bus gone, everybody gone. And we were supposed to check out at about 9 or 10 or 11 o'clock. And the cleaning staff woke us. And I was like, what time is it? And I looked at the clock, and it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So we had to pay for our own flight to get back to Winnipeg. And we got fined by the team for not flying with the team. Yeah.
All right. And most importantly, dogs or cats?
Dogs.
What kind of dogs?
Absolutely. Yeah, pit bull. I got two blue-nosed pit bulls.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Nala and Simba are their names.
I like that. Well, Javon, thanks for taking time out of your night to join us. We really appreciate it.
I'm glad I could make it. I almost forgot.
Well, at least it wasn't like 8 hours late and you had to fly in to do it, right?
Oh, no, no, no.
We won't find you, though, so it's all right.
Appreciate it.
That was defensive back Javon Johnson joining us here on the Coney Island Poutine Cafe Piffles Player Profile. Time to move on. Amy, let's get to the Hottie Bowl.
This week's pick was born May 13th, 1987 in Winnipeg, Manitoba. He attended St. Paul High School in Winnipeg. He played CIS football at Acadia University in Nova Scotia. He started his CFL career in 2012. With Edmonton, I believe. He has since signed with the BC Lions. He was nicknamed Thor by his teammates because of his once signature long hair, which he has since chopped off. He considers himself very outdoorsy and says Vancouver is the perfect place to take advantage of year-round activities such as hiking and camping. He is 5'10", 245 pounds, long snapper for BC Lions number 40, Mike Benson.
A guy that's 5'10" is nicknamed Thor.
5'10", 245 pounds. Look up a picture of him.
Sounds like he's a short, fat guy.
A short, fat, hot guy.
That does not sound like Thor.
That's the most important part. He's jacked AF, by the way.
I believe it. He's on your Hottie Bowl.
Yeah. And he used to have long, beautiful blonde hair. Hair seems to be a theme this year.
So it's the Hottie Hair Bowl.
I guess so. And I'm not mad about it.
Alex might be.
That's a him problem.
Poor Alex.
Not a me problem.
Bald by choice right now. Thank you very much. My hair was getting long.
Mm-hmm.
So I shaved it off.
Wait, yep. What?
My hair was getting long. Just because there wasn't much of it.
Anyway, you missed it. Mike Benson. Hottie with a body. I wish that was a song. It should be. Somebody write that.
We'll have to get Andrew Harris
in studio? Yes.
Yeah. We'll have to get Trevor Harris to wrap that out for you.
Yes. That would be fun.
Derek Dennis and Trevor Harris doing the Hottie with the Body rap battle?
I think so. That sounds like a great idea.
I agree.
When does Ottawa play here again?
Too far from now. Friday, October 13th. Friday the 13th.
Ooh, that'll be a fun game.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with the Hottie Bowl, but.
It'll just be a fun game.
Yeah.
Now, don't forget, you can get your Hottie Bowl merchandise at piffles podcast.com. Check it out in the shop there. And while you're there, check out some of the other awesome designs there. And maybe you, too, can be the next person featured on TSN and on the Maxtron. And special shout-out, again, to that person with the Piffles Podcast shirt at the stadium. That was awesome. Big thumbs up from us.
Yep.
He was waving that thing like a flag. He was proud.
Well, coming up next, we're going to have our rant of the week, and then we look at this week's upcoming game against Hamilton. That comes up after this. Piffle's podcast is supported in part by Bryn Werrett at Royal LePage Regina Realty. A longtime volunteer with your Regina Thunder, Bryn is a proud supporter of local football. Check out BrynWerrett.com, that's BrynWerrett.com, while you enjoy the rest of this episode of the Piffle's podcast. All right, like I said, we're going to get to a rant, so without further ado...
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Well, I mentioned earlier that I was going to possibly rant about the Chris Jones three-man rush. Well, nah, I think that's kind of a broken record. This time I'm going to rant about something that Rob Begg said after the game when asked about the crowd noise. So Rob Begg said, and this is a quote, "I think the fans are falling into a bit of the same struggle that the players are. I feel they're kind of anticipating things to go wrong regardless of the situation. In my first few years here, when we were down by 10 and the defense is on the field needing a big stop, the fans are loud. The stadium wasn't like that all the time on Saturday. Of course, we've got to play. It's not like the fans win the game, but I feel there's a negative energy we need to overcome. It's this self-fulfilling prophecy that things aren't going to go our way. We need to just keep our heads up and to reinstall that belief that we're never out of a football game." Now, I actually agree with him. Yeah, the atmosphere is a little bit different than what it used to be when the team was winning, but there's the difference. The team was winning back when you came into this league, Rob. We had reason to cheer. There's absolutely no reason to cheer for this team right now when they have 8 wins in, 38 games? Something like that? Give us a reason to cheer, and we'll cheer. But when you're giving up 24 unanswered points and you're getting just absolutely outplayed in the middle of the game, that sucks the fun out of a stadium opener. And that's exactly what happened. So, Rob, sorry. I love you. You're my favorite player. You're probably my favorite rider of all time. But give us a reason to cheer, and we'll cheer.
Well, we absolutely saw that at the end of the, near the end of the fourth quarter. Once the team started piling on the points and getting the game back in our favor, that crowd was louder than I think I've heard a Rider game in since the Grey Cup in 2013. It's hard to argue that. I would love more reasons to cheer.
Once that three-man rush is gone, then I'll start cheering again, because that's the killer for me.
You know how we could cheer? The Wave.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Not for me, anyway.
Nor me.
Screw the Wave. That's another rant. We'll we'll save that for another day. Or did we do that one already? We might have done that one already.
I think that's been a twice now rant already.
Did we see a Wave all game? I don't think we did.
Nope.
There were no Waves.
Thanks. I think they tried.
Yeah, I heard somebody say it was trying to get started. We were on offense at the time, and it died, and I was happy.
Shocker. But it was in the, southwest corner.
Yeah.
Always. The southwest corner. Doesn't matter what stadium it is in. The southwest corner always tries to start the Wave.
I'd like to see them try that in our southeast corner.
Not bloody likely. All right, coming up after this break, we're going to get to our Hamilton Tiger Cats preview. More after this.
You are listening to Piffle's Podcast, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome back, and Hamilton Tiger Cats in Regina this upcoming Saturday, July 8th at 8 p.m. Three questions. What are you guys looking forward to the most?
Malcolm pies.
Yes. Oh, if you guys didn't hear, Chef Malcolm handmade pies. If you like comfort food and pot pies and meat pies, Chef Malcolm is the king at making them, and he has a spot in the stadium.
Do we know where that spot is?
Yes, right outside the AGT Lounge on the, that'll be the west side.
Why can't it be on the south end zone?
Because why can't it be in the upper deck where I am?
You're in the north end zone. Why do you want it in the south end zone, you dummy?
Are we in the north end zone?
Yes.
I'm very bad with directions.
If it was right by our seats, you would go broke way too quickly. That is why.
I don't know. That's a lot of steps in those boots. That would hurt.
Yeah, that's all I look forward to. And he has chicken curry. I said if he didn't have it, I was going to riot, but there's no need to riot. Everything is good.
This isn't even a paid advertising. This is just because Alex and Amy like their pies.
This pies are just because, oh my God, his pies are life. Oh, they're so good.
Okay, but actually about the game.
That's all I'm excited for. All I want is pies.
I'm kind of looking forward to seeing who's going to do better than who. Our garbage three-man rush or the Ticats' garbage offensive line. Something has to break.
They're both going to fall over and nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of entertaining to see both of them fail so horribly.
For me, it's pretty simple. I'm excited for a maybe win. Maybe.
They have to. Is this a must win?
It's a must win, yeah. Because you look at our schedule coming up, we got Calgary, Toronto, BC, Edmonton. If we don't win this one, we're coming into a difficult part of our schedule. We need to start getting some wins, and we need to get the fans on board.
Yeah, we definitely need some momentum. It's not really a must win this early in the season, but it's a must win.
Yeah, I think it's a must win. I'm looking forward to more offense. Hopefully they continue that trend from the last game here at Mosaic Stadium, and we see a lot more offense and hopefully ultimately a win. That's all that matters. I'll settle for 1-0. I don't care. I want to win. This is just getting ridiculous now.
If you're playing that CFL TSN fantasy, I would highly suggest putting Kevin Glenn in again, because he's going to get points. We've shown our offense is going to move the ball. It's whether or not our defense can hold up, and that offensive line in Hamilton makes me feel really good about our defense. As long as we don't bring three every play, we're going to get pressure on Zach Kolaros.
Now, what does this team need to do to finally get that win?
Score more points than Hamilton.
There we go.
It's that simple.
Yep.
Yeah.
One more would have done it last week. Rush four or more.
Please. And Hamilton is coming off a bye week. Does that give them an advantage, or does that give the Riders an advantage because they might be a little rusty?
I'd say neither one. I mean, we saw Winnipeg off their bye week, and I use that term in quotes, and we got Hamilton this week off the bye week. After the performance they had in week one, all it's going to give Hamilton is an extra week to stew on what was an atrocious performance. I mean, there's a reason they're number 9 on my, you know, pifflespodcast.com power rankings. They belong down there. They looked like trash, and I don't like, you know, we used that term a lot last year. They were week one's dumpster fire. So
the thing with the Ticats bye week is they're not getting any injured players back. Their DBs that they were expecting to play aren't coming back. Terrence Tolliver is out for
at least 6 games.
Yeah. They're hurting, and they're looking to be a team that's well, this is going to be battle of the basement, basically.
And I hope somebody covers Luke Tasker, because he's their deep threat down the middle in the slot there. And if we can't cover Dressler, Luke Tasker is pretty much the same size as Dressler.
I suggest putting Kevin Francis on Luke Tasker.
I don't suggest that at all, actually. Please do not. I do not endorse Kevin Francis covering anybody right now.
I think it's having Henoch Mwamba back in the middle of the field is going to play a huge part in our defense succeeding.
Absolutely.
I'm not afraid of Montreal's offense. I'm not afraid of Hamilton's offense this year. They just don't scare me like they have in years past. I don't know if it's, you know, Fantu is missing now, Tolliver out, their O-line looking suspect at best. There's just something there just makes me feel really good about this upcoming game. Now, we all know I'm the most homer of homers. I predict a win probably 15 out of 18 games when we do these shows, but I think we match up really well, and We got to play to our best. Rob Begg and the offense need to give us reason to cheer.
Now, last week we debuted a new segment called "Engaging with the Enemy." Unfortunately, this week our guest that we're going to have from the Hamilton Tiger Cats can't make it today, but we will have an interview with this player a little bit on later on in the week. So we'll make sure we put that up on piflespodcast.com. We'll throw it out on the SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play. We'll put it all up on there. We're going to be joined by Xavier Fulton, former Rider as well. So we'll talk to him later on this week, and he'll be our Engaging with the Enemy.
And speaking of where to find this show, you can find it on Stitcher now. We are officially on Stitcher.
What's Stitcher?
Just another podcast app, kind of like Google Play and the others. Just another place to find us if that's where you listen to your stuff.
That's what the kids are using these days?
Yeah, it's the Google interwebs of today's kids, so.
Explains why I know nothing about it.
There's no pictures of puppies on Stitcher.
Hmm.
You won't want to go there.
Useless.
No, probably not. But you will want to go there, so make sure you check that out on Stitcher if you listen to Stitcher. And finally, we have our Piffles Pick'em to get to. Join in on the fun by joining our CFL Pick'em group on the CFL.ca website. Check our Facebook and Twitter for the links. There's still time to join. Win yourself a Piffles Podcast prize pack. So we'll do this again. I think last week we did pretty good. I did three. I was 3-1 last week.
I think I was 2-2. Might have been 3-1.
I think I was 3-1. I don't know. I wasn't paying attention.
All I know is what I pick on here is a little bit different than what I actually put in our Pick'em group, and I'm not doing so good on that. I'm getting better, but still not that good.
I'm in the positives, I'm pretty
sure.
Oh,
I was 1-3.
There you go.
I know.
Just kidding, 2-2.
I was going to say, are we going to go back to opposite Amy?
Amongst the four of us, I'm the best.
Wow, that's terrible.
I thought that was the fantasy.
No, it's both.
Oh, God. I'd like to officially announce my retirement from podcasting because this is embarrassing. Stop crotch chopping. It's week
two. Are we ready? Can I go? All four at once, or are you going to do one game at a time?
No, one game at a time. We'll go around the horn. We'll start, Amy, since you're ready to go, we'll start with you.
BC.
BC at Montreal.
Listen to previous response.
Well, you didn't wait for it to happen. What if I threw a curveball and put it in?
Okay, fine, BC.
Thank you.
BC.
BC.
BC. Calgary at Winnipeg.
Calgary.
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 Calgary. Ottawa, home to Toronto.
Red Blacks.
Ottawa.
Toronto.
He says reluctantly. Very. With a poop face.
Ottawa. And finally, Hamilton at Saskatchewan.
Ticats. Sorry, kids.
I'm going to say Saskatchewan.
Hamilton? No. Saskatchewan.
I'm reluctantly saying Saskatchewan. I don't think it's going to happen.
I scared you into that pick, didn't
I? A little bit, yeah. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. Thanks so much for joining us. Thanks to our guest, Riders defensive back Javon Johnson, for joining us for the Coney Island Piffles Player Profile. Coming up on next week's show, we're going to review the Riders and Ticats. The Riders are on a bye week, possibly much needed, especially after all the injuries. We didn't even touch on it. Caleb Hawley, who knows if he's going to be playing this week or not. Arm was in a sling at the end of the game last week, so hopefully it's nothing too long-term, but that's an injury that he tweaked from earlier in the preseason. So hopefully he's back, but the Riders are on a bye week, so that'll give him an extra week to heal up. We'll have a rant, a Coney Island Piffles player profile, and we'll just talk a little bit more CFL news and see what goes on. Until then, make sure you follow us on Twitter. You can follow us at PifflesPod. You can follow me at RealAlexD.
Follow me at Safamud.
Myself at Fernie635.
And I'm at CFL Hottieball.
Make sure you like us on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. Or on Instagram, search PifflesPod. And check out the website, PifflesPodcast.com. Join our CFL Pick'em group for your chance to embarrass us and win some cool prizes. And just enjoy all the games coming up this week. Piffles Podcast has been brought to you by Bryn Werrett at Royal LePage Regina Realty. Check out BrynWerrett.com. That's BrynWerrett.com. Thanks for listening.
We're drinking town with a football problem.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.